Wow, beautiful music. Music is a blessing. So is a piano player. Anyone come over here, over to Germany, and play the piano for us? It's great. Amen. Thank you for the ladies who play the organ and the piano. Only a missionary would probably realize how important that ministry is. And I know you piano players and you organ players probably do not get the pat on the backs that you need. And so try doing a service all the time and music service all the time in a cappella. Okay? Well, now it sounds good, or it can. Depends on how you feel that day, I guess. I've got a request. Pastor doesn't know this. But our church in Germany knows all about you. They know that we have 40 churches that support us and that Heritage Baptist is one of them. And they know that we are here today. So do me a favor, please, and say hi to them. I'm going to record you. And all you have to do is say, hi, we love you. Okay? Can you do that? Let's practice. You ready? One, two, three. Hi, we love you. Okay, good. I'm going to film you and I will send that later. But I'm going to introduce this in German. Okay? So, let me see if I get this right. Okay. Wait on me, and I'll go like this. But I'm going to speak to our church first in German, okay? Now you get to hear some German, so. Video. Okay. Hello, liebe Gemeinde. Da in Niedegen, wir sind heute Morgen in der Heritage Baptist Church in Roscoe, Illinois. Ich dachte, dass ihr gerne sehen möchtet, was wie diese Gemeinde ist. So hier sind die Leute. Und sie haben eine Botschaft für dich. Hör gut zu.
Hi, we love you.
Amen, over there. Bis später, liebe Gemeinde. Tschüss. Good. Okay. Amen. You never stop being a pastor, no matter where you are. If you have your Bible, come with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. In our church, we have been looking at the book of Ephesians these last months and digging. I love digging. How many like to get dirt underneath their fingernails? All right. And grease? Any grease monkeys out here? And we have been digging. And we are now in Ephesians. We have just finished looking at the armor of God. And when we get back, we'll be looking at the last few verses and then jumping into to Revelation and wrapping up the book of Ephesians with Jesus' letter to the church in Ephesus. Well, Ephesians is a gem. And I would like this morning to begin with verse 10. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You should underline those words, stand and withstand. That's how you apply this. It's not going out and fighting against evil. It's standing in your own personal life. But we'll get there in a minute. So verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We had a sword fight in our church last Sunday we were there. Hio and I did some fencing. How many believe that the sword of the Spirit here is an aggressive weapon? Anybody? How many believe it's only used for protection? Nobody. Well, you are all incorrect. The word for word here is not logos, it's rhema. And it is using the specifics of the Word of God for specific situations. Just like you would use a specific movement of a sword to protect you from a specific movement of a sword from your opponent. Rhema. You let the Word of God interpret itself, okay? Don't add interpretation to the God's Word. That's where we go wrong. And this section of Scripture has been so misapplied. Can I say that? As we look at the different pieces of armor that God has provided for us, we have a tendency to think that they are meant to protect us when we attack the forces of evil. Do you apply this section of Scripture that way? That they are to protect us when we attack the forces of evil. This thinking is incorrect. They are meant to protect us when we are attacked from Satan. It is spiritual armor because the attacks on us are spiritual attacks. What is Satan after when he attacks you, when he tempts you? Someone tell me, what is he after? Pardon? Okay, that's one way he attacks us. But let me rephrase the question. What is he after in your life? No, your soul is already hid in Christ. Okay, you're banging your hammer all the way, all around the nail, but you're not hitting the head. The wood's going to be out of shape in a moment if we keep. Well, that's a result. What is he after? Pardon? Your what? You are the closest. Pardon? That's a result. I got you thinking. That's good. That's a result. He's after your walk with God. Simple, isn't it? He's after your relationship with God. If he can break that, he's got you in all these results that we've just heard. It's a personal attack. Our faith in God and our walk with God are the battlefields on which these attacks take place. Do you understand? Are you with me? It's in your heart. If there would be one piece of armor that could be aggressively used, it would be the gospel boots. That's the title of this message. God's provision for our security in the war, the gospel boots. The message of the gospel is an aggressive message. It attacks the sinfulness of man. It attacks religion. It attacks every system of belief that is contrary to God and His truth, the gospel. What do you think a Catholic thinks about the gospel? Ask her. Her mother. Her mother would be glad to tell you. She would rather die a Catholic than come to Christ alone. The gospel attacks that thought. It is not a passive message. It lays open the enmity between man and God. It lays open the rebellion of man's heart. Yeah? It attacks man's pride. Yeah? Works is all about being proud about what you're doing. It attacks man's self-will. I don't need God. I'll get there another way. Ooh. It attacks man's love of self. I don't want to get saved. I enjoy my sin too much. I have to give it up. Well, you're right. You love it too much, and you would have to give it up. That's why these boots are special boots. So let's make this personal today. Are you ready? You willing? Good, let's pray, because we're going to need some help. Father, help us today to make this personal. Help us to be humble enough to stand before you this morning as we open up your word and allow you to speak to our hearts and teach us and change us and mold us and help us to be Christ-like and be changed into the image of Christ through what we hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have in our church a couple. You probably have her card over there. Her name is Mishaela, Tommy and Mishaela Nitzel. Mishaela used to ride with the Hell's Angels. We have God's angels now in our church. And she is a rough customer, let me tell you. But I don't know if you could say rough with a whole lot of love. I do know this. She knows how to knock teeth out. She was at the Aldi grocery store, and some guy ran along and snatched a woman's purse and made the mistake of running by her, and she saw it. Boom! She said, "Pastor, I feel like God was telling me I need to gentle things up a little bit when I saw a tooth go flying out of his mouth." I'm not kidding. Mishaela, I had the privilege of leading her husband to the Lord, Tommy. He was in the hospital, had hip surgery, and Mishaela had cried out to God for salvation one night on her own, and after reading scripture and in her heart fell down on her knees before him and trusted him as her Savior, and she was praying for her husband, and I went to visit Tommy in the hospital, and you know, he's just a little resistant. And here we talk about the frankness from Sunday school. Remember that we need to really be lovingly frank. And I said, "Tommy, every time you tell God, you don't say yes to God, you're telling him no." Ooh. I went home thinking, I was kind of harsh. That's what got his attention. He got out of the hospital a few days later. As soon as he got home, he said, "Call me." He said, "Don, can you come over?" And I did. had the privilege of leading Tommy to the Lord. They're growing. We're doing a discipleship program together. You know what those are? I hope so. So let's look at this verse 15, a little deeper. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word preparation, it's not what you think it is. This word is an oft-overlooked word. However, it sets the direction of the interpretation of this verse. It does not mean knowing the Romans road by memory. It does not mean that. Although you need to be prepared. You need to know God's word well enough to be able to, something comes up, learn scripture by theme, by subject. Maybe that'll help you. The Greek word is hetomasia. I'm glad we don't speak Greek. It means readiness. But in Hellenistic Greek, it was sometimes used in the sense of a firm foundation or to establish, which would suit this passage very well. It means firm footing. We could read this word, this verse, this way and be correct. And your feet shod with the firm footing of the gospel of peace. Does that make better sense? So, what's the application of this meaning? Christians in every century have been pulled away from their main purpose by many and various distractions. And if you're wondering, this is the first time I've preached this message in English. It's been translated from German, okay? Christians in every century have been pulled away from their main purpose by many and various distractions. One recurring distraction is our emotions over the political winds of the day. I just mentioned that because that's what's in the forefront all around the world today. So much time is given to discussion, to thinking, to writing about what upsets us in this world today, and we should be careful that the amount of attention we give to the things outside the kingdom of God do not distract us from the work of the gospel. Do I need to repeat that? You say no, go on, okay. If our purpose here is to win or to lead people to Jesus, then the gospel is the firm foundation upon which we stand on the shifting sands of today's politics. You want firm footing in today? Go talk to someone about Jesus. We slip. And we give up ground to Satan when we allow ourselves to be distracted from our purpose as God's children. What were the Roman shoes wore like? Anybody here play soccer? What position do you play? Goalkeeper. Oh, I love that. I was a goalkeeper. I lost the turkey bowl for us, okay? What position do you play? Defense. I can't say that I lost the turkey bowl for us because our defense didn't do their job. Jill and I went to Pensacola Christian College. I graduated in 1979. Okay, yeah, I'll be 65 in March, if you're wondering, okay? The Roman boot was thickly studded with hobnails so that the soldier could firmly stand against the pressure of the opposition pushing against him. The nails dug into the ground and kept his feet from slipping. Wearing the gospel boots means keeping evangelization an ever-present goal before us. When you go to Walmart or Meijer or Aldi or the gas station, or you're out talking with your neighbor, wearing the gospel boots means keeping evangelization on an ever-present goal before you. A goal. It doesn't mean that you can every time, but it's a goal. Two, do it. So that we don't slip backwards from the pressures of Satan's activities in the world today. Do you feel like you're up against it? It's because you are. You are. You're living in a... This is the reality check, folks. Do you realize you're living amongst the dead? The living dead. I heard there's a movie out like that. Well, our reality is that we are stuck in a bunch of living, spiritually dead people. And they're God's enemies. The best special that I have ever seen, ever offered to anyone, is God saying to his enemies, "Hey, I've made it possible to save you so that you could be my child. Do you want to be?" Wow. Would you say that to somebody that busted you in the lip? Let's be friends. Would you say that? No. No. You would be saying, "Back up, buddy. Here comes one your way." The gospel keeps us focused to our purpose. That's why they're boots. The boots facilitate our work, presenting the gospel to a world that is pushing back against God. With these boots, we are to make our way against the flow of a corrupt world, keeping our focus on what is really important in this world, the salvation of souls. Aren't you glad someone thought that way when they talked to you about the gospel? How many are you thankful that you're saved? How many are really thankful that you're saved? How many tell God every day, "Thank you for saving me"? You should. He didn't have to, you know. He did it because he loves us. Wow. Satan will attack this focus. Loved ones. He attacks this focus. These are personal attacks. This warfare we fight is not against the world, it's in our hearts. This weaponry, this armor that we have, is God's provision for us to protect us in our warfare against the devil in our hearts, as he seeks to separate us from God, as he attacks our walk with God, as he attacks our testimony. Where do you go? Well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Yes, that's true. But you need armor. And God's given it to us. And it's spiritual armor. It's not an AR-17 with cement busting bullets. Satan will seek to steal your time, your energy, and your focus from that which has eternal value. Preparation. Firm foundation. Just how well do you stand today? Do you realize how many times it said stand and withstand in this section of Scripture? Count them. Underline them. Think about them. Meditate on them. In German, that says, Denk darüber nach. Stand. Withstand. Oh, he's not telling me to go out and fight. No, God is telling you in this scripture to stand and withstand. That's how we know this is a personal attack that we're facing from Satan. And that's how we know this armor is to protect us from the personal attacks of Satan. And he designs them for you. How well are you using your shield of faith? What does it mean about the helmet of salvation? How does that protect you? How many here, are you doubting your salvation? We have 5 Russian Baptist churches in this city north of us. They are Armenian. I'm sorry he's a Dutchman. I wish he had been some other country because I'm Dutch. They believe you can lose your salvation. They don't like us. Because we don't give Armenian Yosef, Yaakov, what's his first name? I forget. Anyway, Arminius, we don't give him the time of day. Just like we don't give Calvin the time of day. We're biblicists. That's why I'm a Baptist. Okay. And they push back. It's amazing to me. Just how well do you stand today? Are your feet shod with the gospel boots? Or have you taken them off and become occupied with Satan's distractions? Are you wearing some of Satan's shoes? God has only one pair of shoes for you, and they don't wear out. They're good for all eternity. They're better than the shoes that the children of Israel wore when they left Egypt. Theirs only lasted for as long as they needed them. These are eternal shoes. Do you have them on? How well do you stand and withstand in your own personal life the temptations that Satan attacks you with? If you are feeling tempted with something, go give a tract to someone. That's what he's saying. You ever heard that one before? It says, the gospel boots are boots of peace. Look at verse 15 again. And your feet shod with the firm foundation or the firm footing of the gospel of peace. In a troubled world, Satan will seek to steal your peace. We know that. And we all experience that. Even today. Right? There is no one more afflicted in this world than a Christian who lets himself be controlled by what is going on in the world. Let me repeat that. There is no one more afflicted in this world than a Christian who lets himself be controlled by what is going on in the world. Oh, we say, well, God's in control. He's still on the throne, and we don't believe a word of it by our actions and responses to what's going on. Yes, he is. He has a plan. How many believe that? And a Christian who does that loses the peace in his heart because he is occupied with Satan's distractions. Yeah. And don't just think, young people, that us older, younger people, young people, are the only ones who fight with peace. And old folks, older folks, don't think young people don't struggle with not having peace. We all do, don't we? And in this world, how many wish you could go back to the days the way they were? How were they then? And our parents were saying they could go back to the days that they were when they were. Well, back then there was the Great Depression, and World War II, World War I. No, just be satisfied where God has you today. The peace of God, it says, the peace of God within a Christian forms a beautiful contrast to the raging waters of the outward conflicts in this world. Satan can cause a Christian to get all worked up over things that have no eternal value. The only thing in Washington that has eternal value are the souls of the lost that are there, if I can put it that way. Satan can cause such distraction. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The Potters, Dave and Jean, in my opinion, were in the best country to be in all of Europe. Orban has his head screwed on straight, and the European Union is trying to lay this fine on him and take this money away from them, and even cut them out of the European Union, because he has the gall to tell them, "We're not going to teach that to our children, and you can't tell us how to raise our children." That's an unsaved man. It's amazing, in all of this upheaval, to see the lack of peace in the hearts of the Christians. We've become bad testimonies of who God is. We need to change that in many cases. Two very important words in these verses are stayed and keep. Stayed in Isaiah 26:3 and keep in Philippians 4:7. Stayed means to prop up. It means to lean upon or take hold of so you don't fall. Kind of like leaning on one of these things right here. A rollator, they're called in German. Or a crutch. Or a staff. It means to bear up, to establish, to set oneself so he is not moved from his place. Kind of reminds us of the gospel boots with hobnails in it, doesn't it? To stand fast. Now, where did we read that? Ephesians chapter 6. Does this sound like what wearing the gospel boots can do for you? Keep means to be a watcher sent out in advance. That is, to mount a guard as a sentinel or to post spies at the gate. It means to hem in with the goal to protect. Wow, God's got adventure in every verse. Paul was led over a wall in a basket because there were spies at the gate. If you are wearing the gospel boots, then you are protected from the distractions of Satan because your focus is souls. So wearing the gospel boots brings peace to our hearts. You want peace? Share the gospel. You're talking about the Prince of Peace when you do that. Love. Liebe Gemeinde, dear church. The word peace here means quietness and rest. David asked himself a question in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What's the next three words? Hope in God. This is a good question for us today. Why are so many Christians cast down today? Oh, things are really bad in this country today. Why are you cast down? What do you expect? Are you expecting to bring in the kingdom? Oh, Dave Potter would have a whole lot to say about that. Reformed theology. Why are so many Christians cast down today? Why are so many Christians disquieted these days? Could it be because they are not focused on what is really important? It is easy for Christians to soak in the unrest and lack of peace in this world through the troubled times in which they find themselves. It's easy, isn't it? You know why it's easy? Because we have a sinful flesh that leans that way. You need to understand your makeup. You're saved. You have a new nature. It didn't take away your old sinful nature. Your old sinful nature doesn't drive straight. You know what a car is like when it's woefully out of alignment, and you have to hang on to that wheel so you don't go in the ditch over here or cross the line and hit the car coming on in front of you. You got to keep it under control so you can fly right. Well, that's your flesh. You take your hands off of it spiritually, it will take you over here or over there. And Satan is just waiting on you when you take your hands off. Am I right? I know of a church. The pastor has a paint stirrer stick, and he made a little sign he taped on it. He pulls it out, and he needs an amen. He has amen written on it in big letters. Amen? You have a flesh that loves the unrest in this world. It leans that direction. Kind of like a dog leaning up against your leg who hasn't had enough of his ears being scratched. Yeah. The world is filled with trouble and has no peace because it does not have the peace with God. What brings peace with God? Salvation. Peace with God comes only through the gospel. Salvation. The world does not know this peace. How are they going to ever know it if you don't tell them? Thank you. Gospel boots. They're special boots. They keep you from losing ground. They help you press against everything that is against God. They give you firm ground. And that's the point here. They give you firm footing in a world that needs the gospel. And that's the point of these boots. So what is the answer to this situation in this world? The gospel of peace. It is the only answer to a world filled with trouble and unrest. It is also the only answer to keeping your focus on what the true trouble with this world is. People are lost. That's where everything else, every other trouble comes from. You want to correct this world? Start leading people to Christ. One person at a time. Most of the people on this world are lost in their sins. The world needs Jesus. He is the only answer to all the trouble in the world. And you don't clean up your life and then come to Him. You come to Him and let Him clean you up. I had the privilege of leading a guy to the Lord by the name of Jürgen Hoffman. I mean, we must have sat for hours on his front doorstep. They were made out of cement. I don't have much back there to sit on. And he didn't offer any cushions. I mean, you can see the ruts, you know. And that's what he said to me. Well, I need to clean up my life to come to God first. I need to clean it up first so He can accept me. I said, Jürgen, no. You go to God. He knows what needs to be cleaned up. We don't have any clue. And He'll do it sometimes so gently you don't even know it. And sometimes it'll be a knockdown, drag out fight. And you're the one fighting. Just trust Him. He'll do it. And he got saved. Praise the Lord for that. Therefore, O Christian, we need to get our boots on. We have the answer to the world's problems, the gospel. The world needs Jesus. He is the only answer to all the trouble in the world. But let me ask you, dear Christian, a few questions. Are you troubled with the events taking place today? Yes or no? Yes or no? Which receives more attention from you when you are visiting with someone? Ouch. They're in need of the gospel and the wonderful truths of the Bible or world events. What do you really believe God wants his children doing today? Fussing or witnessing? Which one? All right, praise the Lord. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you can stand.